After we left off yesterday, we began to introduce the halacha when it comes to kashrut and kelim, the difference between heter bala versus isura bala. The Gemara tells us at the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah that when you have nevelis and trefas to get into something, then you have to start to figure out, did it go through a water, did it not go through water? If it went through water, then it's hagala. If it went directly through the fire, then you require the higher level of kashrut called libun. When it comes to heter bala, something which was mutter in the first place, let's say, for example, kachim. So at the time in the blia, when the absorption went into the pot, it wasn't nosa yet. It's only going to become nosa later. That's called a terabola. And a terabola, there is no difference. Doesn't matter whether it went through fire, water, doesn't matter. Everything's all zayde hagola. That's the Gemara at the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah and Daf Ayin Vav. So Tosfos and the Ravid quoted this Gemara in the context of chametz as well. And they said that when it comes to chametz, so then also you don't have to kasher chametz, anything for chametz never requires libun, because since chametz is also a terabola, since at the time that the bli is taking place, it's still a dover hamutar, so it's always called a terabola. Terabola is always going to be a yidei hagala, and that's the answer to that Gemara. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, that hilchasa b'chli rishon v'roschim, the way you kasher a knife is through hagala, even though the Gemara in the Tosefta of Avodah Zarah says you kasher a knife dafka through libun, so the answer is no, that was a surabal, this is a terabal. This was the yisod that the Rishonim said. So we started to introduce this idea of a terabola to try to understand conceptually how is this so. So we began discussing a Rashba, a very famous Rashba in the Teres Abayis, where the Rashba points out, also based on that same Gemara at the end of Avodah Zarah, that there are really two differences between kasher and kelim for a terabola and for a surabala. So for a terabola, we're very, very makel that hagol is good enough. And we'll also make that you don't even have to kasher the entire kli, as long as you expose part of the kli to the kashering process. So you makshir part of the kli, the whole kli becomes kasher as well. So says the Rashba, neither those two kulos would ever dream of applying by Isura Bala. By Isura Bala, so you have to kasher it appropriately, either hagol or libun, whatever the way it went in, that's the way it comes out. And second of all, the idea of kashering part of a kli is absurd, says the Rashba. By Isura Bala, that definitely wouldn't fly. So comes the Rashba and says, how do we explain conceptually these two halachas? How can it be that when it comes to terabola, we're so lenient that we let you get away with hagola, even though you really shouldn't need libun? We let you get away with kashering part of the kli, and somehow the kashering spreads to the whole kli. What's going on? So the Rashba develops the yisoid. We just started at the very, very end of the shiur yesterday. We gave the following yisoid. Says the Rashba, when you have isura bola, then you have a problem already. You already have terephis in front of you. You have a dover also in front of you. The only way to get rid of something which is drape is you have to get rid of every last drop of it. You got to mamash totally, completely get rid of it. The only way to totally get rid of it, the only way to totally remove the tam is through however it went in. If it went in through Hagola, it's got to come out through Hagola. If it went through Liban, it's got to come out through Liban. And what kind of mishagas is that? You're going to kash half the kli. But there's drapes in the whole kli. So how's it going to help to put half the kli into the water? But the top of the kli that's not in the water is never going to become kosher. So obviously, if you have to really remove the entire tam, then you got to do the real McCoy kasher. It's got to be Liban or Hagola, whatever is appropriate. It's got to be Hekshav Kolakli. However, says the Rashba, when you're dealing with Hekshav of something which is not even Usher yet, it's a Terabola, it's preventative care, that's a whole different story. Says the Rashba, what you could do is as follows. You don't have to remove the entire Tam. All you have to do is what's called Maklish as a Tam. You have to make the Tam weaker, Kolosh means weak, kalush also means weak, so we use the terms interchangeably. All you have to do is weaken the taste to the point that an isser cannot be chal on. It says the Rashba, an isser can only be chal on a tam gomor, something which is a tam kalush, something that has already been weakened, it's not in its full force, it doesn't have the ability for the isser to be chal on it. If the isser was already chal on something, and now it's just weakened a little bit, that's not enough. It has to be eradicated completely in order for it to become mutter. But in order to prevent the isser from being chal, all that's necessary to do is to transform it from being a tam gomer to being a tam kolosh. What is this middle ground, this middle category called tam kolosh? So says the Rashba, if I do hagola on a barbecue grill, it's doing something. Some of the tam is coming out. The reason why normally you require libun is because you want to get every last malki. You want to get the entire tam out. So libun is necessary when it is necessary in halacha to remove the entire tam. If all that's necessary to do is to be makdish as the tam, hagala does something. Hagala mistava removes part of the tam. It removes enough of the tam to declare that whatever's left is called the tam kolosh. Now what's the halachic significance of tam kolosh? Depends. If it was already usur, then it's still usur. If it was started out to be mutter, now you want to create an isser let's say the Zman Nosa comes the next morning, and you want the Issa to be chal on it, an Issa can't be chal on the Tam Kolosh. Let's say the case of Chametz. I had a barbecue grill that I was grilling schnitzel with breadcrumbs. It's not much the worst of the worst, but it was all that terrible. Comes Erev Pesach, I throw into a pot of water. So that's makmish the tam. Doesn't mean not the whole tam. There is still some breadcrumbs, molecules left inside, but it's such an insignificant amount, it's a tam kalush. Now, when comes Shas Isra of Pesach, and the Isra Chometz wants to be chal on that tam kalush, it can't be chal, because an Isra can't be chal on the tam kalush. That's the Rashi was saying. He says that's the same reason why Peksha Miktas HaKli works. When a Maksha half a Kli, I throw half the Kli into hot water, so the rest of the Kli also gets a little bit of a plate as a tam. A little bit, the water draws out a little bit of stuff, even though it's not literally totally submerged in the water, but it doesn't do the entire trick. It reaches the point of Huklash HaTam, of a Tam Kolosh. Go back to this old story. Is Tam Kolosh significant? Is that sufficient to solve a problem? It depends. It's not sufficient to solve a pre-existing problem, but it is sufficient to prevent a new problem from taking effect. So that's why we find these two distinctions in the halacha between Hagola versus Libun, and a difference between Heksha Miksa Kli versus Heksha Kola Kli. Why do we find these differences, which are going to depend on Isura Bola versus a Terabola? That's all the Yisoid of Tam Kolosh. That was the Rashba's contribution to this entire sugya. Those two terms, we don't find those two words. We don't find those words in Chazal. Tam Kolosh. That's the Rashba's Yisoid. Tam Kolosh explains away the entire world. Notwithstanding this Gevaldika razzle dazzle shtikatari the Rashba, it is clear that not all the Rishonim accept this. It is clear that there are Rishonim who learn that the heter of Heterabola, or the kulas of Heterabola, have nothing at all to do with Tam Kolosh. How do I know that that's true? The reason Machlekes, the Rambam and the Raibin, which is really a Kotcher Machlekes, but that Kotcher Machlekes is going to affect the Yerdei issue as well. The Torah tells us in Pashas Tzav, when you cook a pot with a carbon in it, you cook a carbon chatas, you cook a carbon shlom, whatever the case may be, let's say the case of chatas, the case that appears in the Chumash. So I cook a carbon chatas in a pot, so there's a din of morach v'shutaf b'mayim. The Torah says, I have to now kasher it, because there's a problem of noser. When exactly is this kashering taking place? What's the state of the varm? So I come to the Beis HaMikdash today, it's 12:15 in the afternoon, I bring a carbon chatas today, very nice. So I start to eat. I don't personally eat, I bring a kohen, I give it to the kohen. The kohen eats the meat of the chatas. So the kohanim are eating the meat tonight, today, and they're eating it tonight, and then the Torah they can eat it until alos ha'shachat tomorrow morning. First Mishnah Bracha says, Haiches Adam and Aver, they have to finish by Chatzos. And they find Chatzos at 1 o'clock by Chatzos tonight, so they're finished eating. Okay? It's not going to be nicer. 5 o'clock tomorrow morning, it's going to become nicer. Okay? At what point are we supposed to do more Kvashutah B'mayim? The Torah says you have to kash it as Kli. You just cooked in a pot. The Chatzos, you have to kash it as Kli. More Kvashutah B'mayim. You've got to boil it up, kash it up. Very nice. When are you supposed to do that? So comes the Rambam and says, in Uchas Ma'isei Kavanos, as soon as you finish eating, that's when you have to kasha the kli. Means, let's say if tonight, 10 o'clock at night, we finished dinner, we had a late night snack. 11:30, we had a late night snack of basar carbon chatas. So it's all over, we're done, finished. At 11:30, zok the Rambam, eikev achil, that's the Rambam's lashon. As soon as you finish eating, that's when you're supposed to kasha the kli. Says the Ravid, why do you have to kasha the kli at 11:30? What's the rush to kasha the kli at 11:30? Yeah, it's not nicer yet. It's not going to become nicer until the next morning. What are you running to kasha to clean now? Says the right, forget. Kol's man, that it's man achila. You should be eating. You should be cooking, eating more and more and more. When does the mitzvah of morak v'shut v'mayim kick in, says the Ravid? It kicks in afterwards. After it becomes nicer, then tacha becomes a tray for clay. Then you can't do anything with it anymore. Then you're supposed to do morak v'shut v'mayim. So it's a machlekes, the Ram and the Ravid, machlekes in Pesukim ben Chumash. What is pshat of the Torah? The Torah says you eat the kavanas, then you kasha the kli. When do you kasha the kli? According to the Rambam, you kasha the kli b'shas heter. According to the Ravid, you kasha the kli dafka b'shas iser. So which way is the Rashba assuming? The Rashba is assuming that the whole heter of doing hagola, even on the barbecue grills, that's what the Mishnah says in Masechet Zevachim, that there's no need ever to do libun on pots and pans and grills that were used for kachim. Everything is Ayde Hagolah. And the Gemara says the reason is because it's a Terabalah. So according to the Rashba, when exactly is the kashering taking place? It must be taking place before the Shas Isser. Because according to the Rashba, the whole Yisod of the Heter, the whole basis for the Heter of kashering Ayde Hagolah, is the fact that the Isser hasn't yet taken effect. It's the preventative care. The guy's perfectly well. The kid doesn't have the chicken pox yet. We're trying to prevent him from getting the chicken pox. So we're trying to prevent the Yisr Noisa from being chal. So all you have to do is be maklish the Yisr. It's not the Yisr. All you have to do is be maklish the Tam. That makes sense if the Rambam is right. If you hold like the Rambam, that if you like the Rambam, the kashering of the kli is taking place b'shas heter, before it became nosar, so then the theory of the Rashi makes a lot of sense. But if you hold like the Ravid, that the kashering is not taking place until after the Shas Isra has been chal, it's already 9 o'clock the next morning, it's already nice and gomor, so how does the theory of the Rashi hold any weight? The whole theory of the Rashi was, it's not also yet, all we're trying to do is prevent the Yisr Noisa from being chal, therefore we're going to let you get away with this Shvacha type of a kashering. According to the Raiva, what do you mean the Yisr Noisa hasn't been chal yet? The Yisr Noisa was chal already, the Yisr Noisa was chal 3 hours ago. You're kashering the kli after it's ready a davar asar, so you should have to get out all the time. So the whole svar of a terabola, according to the Rashi, the whole yisoid of a terabola was predicated on the assumption that Hagola accomplishes hukla shatam, and once it's hukla shatam, the Yisr can't be chal, but according to the Raiva, the Yisr was already chal. So obviously the Raiva cannot learn pshat like the Rashi. But obviously according to the Raiva, there's got to be something else going on in this sugya. The reason why what Hagola works got to be based on something totally different. Comes to Beis Yosef and says, it's not just a Raiva tucked away in Hukas Maisa Kavanas that nobody heard about that disagrees with the Rashba. The Rishonim and the Daf disagree with the Rashba. There's the Tosis in Chulin that the Beis Yosef claims disagrees with the Rashba as well. If you remember yesterday when we introduced the Rashba was explaining the whole concept of a Terabola combined with the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, B'chol Yom Nasa Giyul L'Chaveiro. Remember the Gemara says that in theory, if you keep on cooking from one day to the next, so then you never have to be worried about the kashrus in the Beis HaMikdash. If I have a carbon shlom, I cook the shlom today, and then I cook tomorrow, shlom tomorrow, and then the next day is the next day, the next day, the next day. So I never really have a problem, because every time that I cook, so that draws out some of the time, that draws out the time of yesterday's cooking. So the Rashba says, what kind of story is that? What do you mean it's drawing out the time of yesterday's cooking? I'm not cooking to the top of the pot. I'm not throwing the pot into a pot of boiling water. It's only Heksha Mitzvah Sakli. So remember the Rashba said, nah, the reason why it works, because it's all a terabola. It's a terabola, it's a terabola, and it's Hukla Shatam, and everything is hunky-dory. Everything's a Hukla Shatam, and fantastic. So if you take a look at Tosfos in Maseches Chulin asks the same question that the Rashba is asking. What kind of game is this? That B'chol Yom Nasa Gila Chaver? What kind of joke is this? This is not meeting the standards of Kasher and Kalim. How can this idea work? So comes Tosfos and says, nah, it's nothing to do with anything. Nothing to do with no Hukush Atams and no Mises are terrible. Nothing. Says Tosfos, you know how this story works? You know where B'chol Yom Nasa Gila Chavero? Says Tosfos, what are you cooking in the pot? You're cooking meat. And what did you cook yesterday? You also cooked meat. Whenever you're cooking, these are meats for karbonos. I'm not cooking potato soup in these pots. I'm cooking meat in these pots. So it's always going to be min b'mino. Whenever you have a tarovus and min b'mino, who remembers? What's the din min haTorah? Whenever there's a mixture of any min b'mino, what's the din? It's always batal barav. Min haTorah, it's all batal barav. So min haTorah, if I would take a pot that was used yesterday for nevela, and now I want to use it an hour later for cooking kosher meat, as long as I'm still cooking meat, it's never going to really be a problem. Because the whole problem of cooking with treifa pots is that the tav of the treifas is going to come and is going to cause a kashrus problem in the food that I'm cooking. Say the Bali HaTosfos, if I want to cook min b'sheinu mino. But if I want to cook min b'mino, what's going to be the kashrus problem in HaTorah? In HaTorah, you always follow a row. Now, with the Rabbanon, you can't do that, because with the Rabbanon, you need shishim for min b'minos. We spoke about b'yarichos. But in the perfect world, min haTorah, you don't really have to kash your pots. Even within 24 hours, you don't have to kash your pots, provided that you're using it for the same type of food that you used before. So, come Tyson says, since these pots are the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, we follow the standard d'oraisa, in Shmos HaMikdash. We don't institute chumash d'Rabbanon in the Beis HaMikdash. So, min haTorah, you're allowed to keep on using the pots. Min haTorah, it's not really a problem. As long as you're still cooking your vaiti, you're always cooking meat, so then there really is no need to kash in the pot. The only time you have to kash in the pot, min haTorah, is if you want to cook other foods. But lo yitzuyah, that you're still cooking the same meat, nachakor, it's always going to be min b'mino, so it's always going to be batal min haTorah. So comes the Beis Yosef and says, if Tais was like the Rashba, that this is Hukla Shatam and Maizen, so why is Tais giving you another Shtikl Torah? Why is Tais explaining what's going on in the Gemara of Adazor with something totally different? Why does he have to revamp the whole sugya of Kol Yom Nasa Giyul L'Chaveiro based on Min B'mino and Bottom and HaTorah B'Rov? He says, why didn't you just like the Rashba? He says, But it makes sense because the Rashman is a tremendous chiddush, that this the whole idea of hukla shatam, that's a very, very foreign concept. We never heard of such a thing. So Abba Zoi, that there are Rishonim who don't buy into the Rashman, there are Rishonim who don't accept this idea of hukla shatam, so hadukul shaduchta. But you can't deny the Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Pe Malay, that when it comes to Terabola, you do not need Libun. So if you're really honest to goodness, don't need Libun for a Terabola, why not? If you don't, it's very nice to disagree with the Rash, but it's nice to hold like a Raivid, Hilchus Baisa Kabbalah, it's nice to discover Taisis in Kol HaBosar. But Tachlis, you have to explain away the Gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, Pe Malay, you're allowed to take a barbecue grate that you grilled carbonus on and throw it into a pot of boiling water and it's kosher. How is it kosher? How did it become kosher? According to the Rashba, I understand hukla shatam. But if Taitzus and the Raiv and all these Rishonim never heard of this hukla shatam, so what are the mechanics of this halacha? How does this work? So the answer to this riddle, to this secret of a terabola, according to the other Rishonim, is not such a riddle. It's mamish apostle chumash. It's based on mamish psukim and chumash. What are the psukim and chumash? So there are two parshas of Kasher and Kalim that appear in Chumash. One of them appears in Parshas Tzav, about Kasher and Kalim with the Beis HaMikdash, and the other one appears in Parshas Matos, about Kasher and Kalim for Kashrus, from Trey for Kalim that you got from the Goyim. If you look at the two parshios, so there's one glaring difference between the two. When it comes to Parshas Matos, so the Torah goes into very, very fine detail as to how do you go about Kashering. Kol davar ashe yavo ba'esh, taviyu ba'esh v'taher, ach, medida ischata, v'chol ashele yavo ba'esh, taviyu ba'mayim. So the Torah says, if it went through fire, it's got to come out through fire. When it went through water, it's got to come out through water. And the Torah delineates, halibur nagol, it's those psukim and Parshas Matos that are the makairis, that are the source of the Torah Shebichsah for the whole sugi in the end of Avodah Zarah, about agol and libun. Yeah, you open up Parshas Tzav, and none of that appears. You open up Parshas Tzav, and the Torah says, and by the way, what happens if you cook karbonos? Umorak v'shuta p'mayim. Just put it into hot water. Marika means hot water, shtif, cold water, whatever it is. Throw it into a pot of boiling water. Finished. That's the end of the story. Akasha on the Torah, Kadosha. Half of the Torah didn't mention all the details. Did you grill it? Did you fry it? Did you cook it? The Torah doesn't go into any details. Parshas Tzav, it's just one method. The one method called Agola. So the answer is, Chazal looked at these psukim and came up with the idea of a terabola versus a sirabola. The answer is, it's staring us in front of our faces. It's not based on a hukla shatam, it's no svara. Chazal all of a sudden did experiments in the laboratory and came to the realization that Hagola does hukla shatam, Libun does the mukhlazola. Kach nemra aloch, it's a posim chumash. By the mere fact that the Torah has two parshas of kashering, and the Torah is so fundamentally different in the presentation of the two parshas, that one parsha presents to us the options of Hagola versus Libun. The other one doesn't even mention the concept of Libun. It's clear as day that the Torah is telling us that this is the cross in Kashering. Heterabol is not based on any great savar of Hukla Shatam and chemistry and mises and physics and so on. It's pure halacha. The halacha is, that's a Yakasha Kalim. Yakasha Kalim, if it's a Isura Bola, then you have to do it Libun or Hagola. If it's a Terabola, then everything is Ayde Hagola. So it's very easy to call it Gzer Sakos, but it's just Psukim and Chumash, it's Dvar Pshutim. But does it make any sense? It's hard for us to understand. If after all, the whole purpose of Kashrut Kalim is to remove the Tam, so then how could it be that there's Gzer Sakos like this? According to the Rashba, that it all makes sense, it all fits nicely in the laboratory, everything fits into the right place, so then I understand. Haterabal, Isurabal, Huklashatam, Narakushatam, yes, Asa, no Asa. But if you're going to go the other route, like Taisus, like the Ravid, that this is a pure Gzer Sakos of Yama, there's no rhyme and reason to this. This is the way Yakasha Kalim, it's very hard to understand. Isn't Kasher and Kalim supposed to get out Tam? If it's supposed to get out Tam, so how come sometimes it gets out one way and sometimes another way? We want to avoid the Rashba Suklashatam. So what's Pshat? So perhaps we're working with a fundamental erroneous premise about what Kashrut is supposed to accomplish. That's the whole point of these 3 weeks of Shurim. We're learning Hilchos Kashrut and Kalim. So if I'd stop and I ask you, what are you trying to accomplish when you're Kashrutically? I have a quote-unquote trafically. What is my goal? What is my aim? What am I trying to accomplish? So most people would say, well, it's very simple. You're trying to get out the Tam. You have Tam, you have trafe Tam of Chazr inside the walls of the pot. If you're going to cook with that pot potatoes, so that Tam's going to go into the potatoes. It's going to ask the potatoes. So the Torah tells you the only way to get rid of the Tam is through X, Y, and Z, leave it on goal, etc. That's what most people would answer. Would everybody answer that? Who would have problems answering that? That's why we spent 3 weeks of Shia before June's month started, learning the dinim of min b'minu and min b'she'en aminu and nice and tam. Which Rishonim would have problems answering that? Which Tanoim would have problems? If Tam Kika is only mid Rabbanan, remember there was an age old machlokes. Is Tam Kika even der ice in the first place? If you hold that Tam Kika is only mid Rabbanan, so this is a strange idea. On the one hand, Tam Kika is der Rabbanan. It means it doesn't really bother me that a little bit of chaza fell into my pot of potato soup and I can taste it. This is a loch potli. According to half the Rishon, it's mutam in the Torah. According to Rashi, it's mutam in the Torah. If so, so what are you kashrin kelim for? If the whole purpose of kashrin kelim is only to get rid of the Tam, but Tam itself is not a problem, so what do you have to kashrin kelim for? What kashrin kelim is only with the Rabbanan? It's the Pesukah ben Chumash after kashrin kelim. So what's pshat? And who remembers the Ra'ah? We call the Ra'ah in the name of the Ramban. It's a mitzvah's kashering. It's like l'chvisa l'kedusha, says the Ra'ah, says the Ramban, that the original parsha of kashrin kelim was talking when you buy kelim from goyim. That was the context of kashrin kelim. So there's a mitzvah of tevilas kelim. So the Ra'ah in the Bedek Abayis quotes from his Rebbe, from the Ramban, that kashrin kelim is really part of the process of being malah the kelim l'kedusha asam. That you're bringing the kelim, it used to be goyisha kelim, and now they've been used l'kedusha. So the same way that tevilas kelim is malah l'kedusha, the Yerushalmi says it's like a geirus, like you're being magay the kelim. So you're being machnes the kelim, make tumasa l'kedusha asam. So kashrin kelim is part of that process. Kashrin kelim enables you to do tevilas kelim. That's why the Ramban and the Ra'ah had so much trouble. So that makes sense if I buy a tray for kli from a goy. But if I goofed and I trafed up my kli in my house, what do I have to do? What do I have to kasher them for? So the Ramban says, yeah, it's like a little plump. Like, that's also considered to be included in kashrin kelim. Remember, we even threw out the possibility that maybe it's only the Ramban. That's a taisis, right? You got a shikotar and a taisis earlier. Maybe it's the Ramban and maybe the chanami. So even no matter how you slice that, whether you accept the Ramban that's also their right, so you hold like Taisus, that's their Rabbanan, no matter how you slice it, the ikur of kashrin kelim is not really to get out the tam, because tam is not really the problem. If that's the case, that the ikur is not really to get the tam, but the issue of kashrin kelim is very different, it's more of a mitzvah satayr, it's more of a kedusha type of halacha, so then whatever the Rabbanan Shalom tells you how to do it, that's how you do it. It doesn't correspond to anything in the laboratory. There's nothing going on in the lab. There's nothing going on. The bleas, whether they exist or don't exist, don't interest us. So loch probably where the bleas are there, because the bleas is no worse than Tom, and Tom is not kikur min haTorah. If it's a mitzvah's kashering, so you can ask a kasha, how come the Rabbanan Shalom gave us the mitzvah kashering, derech libun and derech hagola, sometimes and sometimes not? That's as an absurd question is to say, why do we have to tovel kelim in the mikvah? Why can't we tovel kelim in the sink? Why can't we tovel kelim in the bathtub? Why does it have to be a kasher mikvah with 40 saw? Because that's what the Rebbe Shalom said. It's got to be a kasher mikvah with 40 saw. It's not kasher lemaisa. So if you're telling me that kasher and kelim is basically part of the tevila process, it's part of the tara process, part of the chmitz l'kedusha process, so then you can't start to philosophize about why is it sometimes this way, sometimes that way. If you hold that kasher and kelim is scientific, it's got to get out Tom, because Tom's going to kill you. Tom's going to trace up your potatoes in 5 minutes from now. So then, it's a pella. How can there be different standards in the laboratory as to what's going to get out the Tom's? That's what the Rashba says. You're right. There aren't no different standards. The Rashba has the same standards. Liblin gets the whole Tom out. Hagola gets part of the Tom out. Is getting part of the Tom out sufficient? That depends on Isura Bala versus Terabola. So it seems to be taking place in front of our very eyes are two very, very different approaches as to what are you accomplishing with kasher and kelim in the first place. This should have been the shirat dama for the whole sugya. What is the purpose of kasher and kelim? What's the goal of kasher and kelim? And the big nafkamin ladina is going to be, at least the conceptual nafkamin ladina, how do you explain away the concept of a terabola versus a surabola? Everyone buys into it, but whether a surabola or a terabola is a function of Tom Kolosh versus Tom Gomel versus no Tom like the Rashba, or whether it seems to be much more Xeris Akosov oriented, like the Ravid, or like the Dan Tysus perhaps in Chulin. So this seems to be a really fundamental issue that's taking place in terms of our sugya. There's been a question that's been thrown around a lot about whenever you learn sugyas of Kasher and Kalim, of Yablias. So, you know, until 100 years ago, nobody asked this question. But, you know, we live in a world post-science, you know, so we think very, very scientific oriented. So we always think to ourselves when we learn these sugyas, a bliya is something you can measure in the laboratory. Is it something that's, you know, really scientifically based, or is bliya mamash a halakha concept? Is it something that's in the physical world, or is it a metaphysical world? So Well, you can philosophize about from today to tomorrow, but it sounds like to a little bit that's what's really going on, at least in this machlokes that we're shown him. Is kashering trying to get rid of something physically? The Rashba sounds like it is, and the other Rishonim seem to be saying that it's not really getting rid of something physically because we don't really care about the physical component because there is no physical issue. There is no tam. Tam doesn't really interest us. Even if it exists physically, it doesn't bother us. So there seems to be a machlokes that Rishonim, this is what I alluded to yesterday, seems to be a machlokes that Rishonim conceptually, what are you trying to do in the world of kashering? Is kashering something that's taking place in the laboratory? Or it's taking place in Beis Medrash. So kashering is the crossroads of Torah Mada. We're not sure whether it's the Torah part or the Mada part. We're not sure exactly what the purpose of kashering is all about. Okay, that one brought to you by June's Mada, 2011. Okay.
How does the Rabban work with the
Rabban will concede if you hold time kickers, the Araisa, then in Rabban, then kashering is really necessary to get out of real time.
Right,
I think so. Right.
Only
you mean how would a terabola work according to other Rishonim? I don't know. Again, the Ramban and the terabola people didn't join Tink forces. I'm putting the two together.
Right,
it's my guess that maybe this is, it makes more sense if you go to the root of Zerzak, also it makes more sense according to Ramban. It's not Muchach. So I hope on that, hey, slice it. There is a bit of a terabola. That's a fair issue. There is a bit of a terabola. And the only case that we have in the Gemara, at least, of a terabola is really only one case. The one case of a terabola in the Gemara is the case of kachim. Now, we're not going to have too many kachim shailas, but we do have potentially a terabola, at least in terms of chametz of Pesach. According to one day in Tosfos, that's the secret behind the chametz of Pesach story. The chametz of Pesach is a terabola, and therefore, there's never, ever going to be a need for liban, whether it's based on hukush adam, whether it's based on tzeres hakosav, lemais, according to this day in Tosfos, there never, ever will be a need for liban. However, this jump that Tosfos and Raivin are making, that chometz v'pesach is considered to be a terabola, and therefore whatever het that we have for regular terabola of kachim we can carry over to chometz, so this is a highly questionable jump. We spoke about this a little bit in the past. Here the Ramban disagrees with this. Comes the Ramban and says, this whole equation, this great leap of faith, is a small step for man, great step for leap for mankind, or something like that, okay? Most of you guys don't remember that. I don't remember that particular line. I remember watching in, I was 4 years old at the time. It was a summer night, middle of July, right? It was a summer night, and I remember up this, my parents had a big black and white TV, and it had something to do with the moon. I couldn't figure out Kishachai, Kishlofan, I don't know exactly what was going on. But I remember everyone was like, eyes were glued to the something to do with the moon. And then years later, I realized in the stomach that's what they were watching. I can't imagine there's anything else, but it was around when I was 4 years old. Okay, anyway. So the bottom line is this tremendous leap of faith that the Balei Pesach has made, that the Raivin makes, that Chometz of Pesach is called the Terabola. Zokter Ramban doesn't think it's right. He thinks that whole equation is not correct. He thinks Kochim is a Terabola, but Chometz is not a Terabola. Why is Chometz not a Terabola? So we spoke about this Ramban before. No, talked about Shmuelov. Did he mention this Ramban this year? The whole Yev Sach, we didn't mention him. Could we have mentioned him? Okay. Comes the Ramban and says that Noser is called a terabola. Why? Until the clock strikes Alos HaShachat tomorrow morning, it's not Noser. It's Bechol not Noser. Chometz is Shmoyalov. It's called Chometz all year long. It happens to be that it's not Osir until Pesach times. But says the Ramban, the concept of Chometz exists the whole year long. There's a dinim. It's called a shame Chometz. Well, even Moshe ben Yadon bears this out. Something is Chometz all year long. It's not nicer until it's nicer. It's like the Moshe ben Yadon. Would anybody say something as ridiculous as this? That I'm sitting down to eat a piece of kachim, right? I'm sitting eating kachim. You're basically eating nicer. What you are consuming now is nicer. Elohim. It just happens to be that Noser is not yet also because it hasn't. It's not yet the next morning. This guy's a meshugan, right? That's semantics. But chometz, I'm eating chometz. It says in the box, not for Passover use. It says these matzahs are chometz. Okay. If my wife screams at me in the middle of June and says, not my wife would scream at me, if someone's wife would scream at them and say in the middle of June, don't take chometz downstairs because it's you're gonna get chometz in the room. So maybe she's a little neurotic, but it makes sense, right? It's still called chometz, mashenkin. It's not called nicer. Mashugli, you never call it nicer. So come to Ramban and says chometz is shmoyalav kol hashana. Noser is not yet noser until it becomes nicer. So therefore, zok the Ramban, chometz is not called a terabola. Chometz is fundamentally called isurabola. Chometz is called iser. Chometz is not called heter. Chometz is by definition called isurabola. And therefore, the whole Gemara of Adazar is going to be totally meaningless. The Rav, when he explained this, Ramban, said that he was bothered. How can you say that Shmuelov makes a difference? The fact that people call it chametz, that's what's kaveh, the halacha. So the Rav said he thought the Ramban was adding more to it than that. There are halachic ramifications of chametz all year long. There are three areas of halacha that chametz plays a role all year long, besides chametz of Pesach. What are the three areas of halacha? They're all in the realm of karbanos, but there are three different halachas of chametz. There's a din that a mincha is not allowed to be chametz, so you offer chametz all year long. And then there's a din of shtel lechem and shavuos have to be chametz. And then there's another din of lach mitoida, that 10 of the loaves have to be chametz. So there are dinim of chametz. You have to know Maseches Pesach all year long. You got to learn the sugyas of chametz and matzah. So you have to be up to date with the shem chametz all year long. It happens to be Nebuch. We don't live bisman shabbos and mikdash kayim. So we, the only meaning that we have for chametz, the only thing that really matters, that's that chametz is 1 week during the year. But that's because we live b'shachar chorban. But in theory, the dinim of chametz are alive and well the rest of the year. Hashem get the dinim of noisa until it's noisa. It ain't noisa. So it doesn't have a shame noisa b'chlam. So that's what the Ramban disagreed fundamentally with the Baal HaTosfos jump. So it comes out according to the Ramban, there would never ever be a heter of not doing libun. So what's got in the knives? So we still don't know yet what the story with the knives. What the story of Asug is. Why does that Gemara say Hagol is good enough for the knives? In Pesach, the Ramban's got to come up with another answer. But the mahalach of the Baal HaTosfos, the mahalach of the Rav, it is not acceptable according to the Ramban, because chametz is considered by definition to be surah bomb.
Would that apply for other things also, like the ability to be batal? Like we said earlier that by chametz, as long as you do it before there's an isser of chametz, then it would be able to be batal.
Okay, so we're going to see about that may be related. We're going to talk about the ramifications of this Ramban a little bit later. So again, so now we have a running machlekes. Everyone's agreeing that din of heter bala, every machlekes ties in the Ramban, whether that carries over to chametz or pesach. How do we pass in halacha? Do we follow the Taisus? Do we follow the Ramban? What's the din? Halacha l'maisa. This is a real shayla. You have a barbecue grill. You used it to grill schnitzel with breadcrumbs all year long. You want a kasher for Pesach. How do you go about doing that? Do you have to do liban on it? Or is it good enough to throw into a pot of water? What's the din? So machlekes rishonim. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, when you kasher for Pesach, you have to kasher with the regular standards of kashering. You need what needs liban, needs hagol, and that's it. No kulas, no kunsim. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't even quote any yeshomim. Nobody disagrees. The Shulchan Aruch is going straight with the Ramban that chametz is considered to be a surah bala. They do not quote the first day in Tosfos. However, comes the Ramah, starts to chisel away. Comes the Ramah and says, yesh oimrim, the following kulas of the Ramah. The Gemara says in the end of Avodah Zarah, when you kasha things for libun, through libun, there's a shear of how hot it's got to get. It's got to be really, really hot, mamish, in the fire, blazing hot, in the fire, in order to qualify as an acceptable libun. How hot is hot, and how much in the fire does it have to be? So the Gemara in the end of Masechet Avodah Zarah speaks about that you put the kli inside the fire to such an extent that it starts to peel away, that the outer level of the kli starts to chip away. And the Rishami speaks about until you have nitzotos nitzim, it's got to be, that's mamish, sparks are flying off the kli. It's really, really hot. It's mamish in the fire itself. Very, very high levels of intense fire heat in order to qualify as libun. Comes the Ramon and says, when you kasha things for Pesach, yesh omim, you don't need that. Yesh omim, all you need is the kli's got to get pretty hot. That if you would take a piece of straw or something and put it onto the kli, it would start to smolder a little bit. It would start to burn up. That's considered to be hot enough for kashering for Pesach. That's history Torah. Where in the world does that shear come from? So if you look at the Mordechai Maseches Pesach and they quote from the Rishonim, the Rav Yovna mistaken, the early Rishonim, who came up with the following idea. Kaima Gut Rishonim and said that when the halacha requires libun, the real makoy, then Chazal Mishayah, it's only called libun if it's Kitzotz Nitzim, or Kitzotz Nesheres, whatever the shear are. Because the Torah says, called Dover Sheyava Be'esh, Tavir Be'esh, gotta be in the fire, and this is called in the fire, I think short of that is Dishken Libun. However, says the Rav Yovna, quoted by the Mordechai, sometimes the halacha doesn't really require libun. Sometimes it can be something which is a bli adei mayim, which really is sufficient to do hagola with. The libun is a higher level kashering than hagola. Sometimes really hagola is good enough. But what? There's a technical problem. It's not so easy to do hagola. It's difficult to do hagola. You can't get a pot big enough. You can't get this. You can't get that. Sometimes it's easier just to throw it into the fire. So come to Mordechai and says, if that's the case, that you're not really required to do libun, you're just doing it for convenience, really you could have done Hagolah, then it need not meet this most serious criteria of libun. Then it doesn't have to be so hot that it's sparks are flying, that the kli is melting, it's peeling away. That's not necessary. as long as it gets hot enough that you can burn a piece of straw on it or something. So that's what the other Rishonim write, that as long as it's mamish yatza lettuce bowl from both sides, it's totally hot, but you can't even touch it, that's already hot enough. That's considered to be good enough for something which is not really required libun in the first place. So this is a concept that the Rishonim really invented called libun kal. The Gemara, that term libun kal doesn't exist in Chazal. Libun kal was made up by the Rishonim. Libun kal means something which really doesn't need libun in the first place. It really needed hagola, but it's just more practical to do libun. So you could do libun on it, and you don't even have to do the higher libun. The lower level libun, just having it burn and the straw burn on it, reaching out letters on both sides. So that's good enough for something that would have been sufficient to have hagola. That's the chiddush in the Mordechai. So comes the Ramah, quotes Rishonim, will say, when you kasher for Pesach, so even though you're kashering the barbecue grill, you're doing libun with it, nah, you don't really need real libun. You don't have to put it into the fire that the sparks are flying. As long as you put it into a fire for long enough that it gets really, really hot, and you can burn a piece of straw in it or something, that's the same. That's enough. That's sufficient. Where did that come from? So the Rishonim explained, the Mordechai says, because you don't really need libun. Why don't you need libun? It's a grill. I grilled on it schnitzel with breadcrumbs for the last 6 months. The answer is, it's a terabala, because these Rishonim are assuming that chametz is a terabala. And therefore, like Tosfos said, like the Ravid said, whenever it's a terabala, you never need libun. You really only need a gola. You could have thrown it into a pot of water, but it would have also been perfectly okay. But it's more practical to throw it back. It's a grill, so you go find a pot that's big enough. It's easy to throw into the fire. So if you throw into the fire, it doesn't have to be such a great fire. As long as it's a lower level fire, that's also good enough. So there are more quotes Yeshayim with that. So if there are more supporting those Yeshayim, what the Ramah is really saying is that Yeshayim, you don't need libun. It means if you would have needed libun, then this libun wouldn't have been sufficient. So the fact that there are most quoted, there are some Yeshayim, the Mordechai, the Ravi, are willing to accept libun kal for Chametz Pesach, that's tantamount to saying that you don't really need libun in the first place, that agol is good enough. And the only way to defend that shita is to say, like Tosfos is saying, like the Ravi is saying, the Chametz Pesach is called a terabola. So it sounds like the Rabbah is being mekel. Then the Ramah turns around and says, yes, Yeshom, there is such an opinion, but Nogin L'Hachmer, that's not Aminik, says the Ramah. We don't follow that view. Aminik is, we're Machmer and Chomer to Pesach, like the Shulchan Aruch, like the Rambam, like most of the Rishonim, against the Taisus, the Chomer to Pesach is not Heterabola. So therefore, practically speaking, in terms of normative halacha, we follow the view of the Shulchan Aruch, and with the way the Ramah, in effect, also is made at the end, our practice is both Sfarim and Ashkenaz, and we do not rely on a terabola when it comes to Chametz for Pesach. We only rely on it for Kachim, which is not going to be too relevant for us. We rely on it for real a terabola, but Chametz for Pesach would not qualify as a terabola. However, comes the Mishabur and quotes from a group of Acharonim, even though we don't really rely on this, we would never ever tell somebody just to do Hagola on a Chametz tikka pot, a Chametz tikka grill or something and call it a day. What if somebody b'diyevet did it? What if l'maisa b'diyevet, someone went ahead and they kashed their barbecue grills, the kasher, the spits, the kasher, whatever has to be kasher, but should have been kasher, but libun, they went out and they goofed and they kasher with hagola. Would we accept it after the fact, but the eved? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, some poskim will say, well, let's say you took this barbecue grill, you only learned the Tosfos in Pesachim, you never learned the Rambam. So you learned the Tosfos in Pesachim, Tosfos said, oh, Chametz is a terabola, so you became a great Talmid Chacham, you decided, okay, I can kasher my barbecue grill, the Pesach thrown into a pot of water. You threw into a pot of water, then you made a whole barbecue. Comes third day, Chalamoy, you get the whole family over, and somebody shows you the Ramban, and it says, they point out that the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah said that you didn't really kasher it. So now what do you do? Is all your food treif or not? All your food is chametz stick, because you didn't kasher it properly. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, well, it's going to be Eino Ben Yomo anyway. Right? Remember, because you haven't used it, it's already 5 days later, you haven't used it, it's already Eino Ben Yomo. And if you remember from an earlier sugya, didn't we talk about this? But many of the Rishonim say that Eino Ben Yomo is not there even for Chametz for Pesach. Didn't we talk about this in the beginning of June's month? It was only a Rabbeinu Peretz, right? It was Yeshom in Iran. It was a tucked away one shita that says that Eino Ben Yomo asks even by Chametz for Pesach, because it's like Mashahu. So even though we usually follow that opinion, the Ramah writes that Minhag Ashkenazi practices to be Chayshish for that Rabbeinu Peretz, but here it's a shtickle combination of Chumrus, because here, according to many Rishonim, the Kli was really Kashish properly. And it's like a snake faker. Maybe the Kli was kashered properly, maybe it wasn't kashered properly. And even if it wasn't kashered properly, well, maybe it's already in Nais and Tam of Gam. So Nais and Tam of Gam is not the end of the world. So the Mishnah Berurah starts quoting Acharonim who are willing to be Mekel, but to be Mitzarif Shitas. You know, we didn't totally forget about that sheet that says Chametz the Terabola. We spent an hour and a half of Shir on it yesterday and today, defending, giving all the lungas of the Terabola. So we didn't forget it in its entirety. We don't rely on it on the normal practice, but sometimes b'diavad, b'shezachak, b'tzirf, other things, we'll bring it back to life. So at the end of the day, we paskin both Mechav and Ramah, basically a Neheg, that we do not treat chametz as a terabola, we treat chametz as a surabola, and therefore we have to kasher it in the more serious way. However, notwithstanding what appears to be, even though the Ramah is hesitating a little bit in this psak, the Shulchan Aruch is not as clear as this. The Shulchan Aruch said, Eshedak l'hagel yagel l'labin l'labin, quotes the Mishnah, and by chametz, you have to kasher regular standards of Avodah Zarah, regular standards of Nehilas Treifas, buying kelim from goyim, it's all the same for chametz. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't leave even one iota of any doubt in our minds that chametz of Pesach is anything less than Isur HaBala. Almost. There is one line in the Shulchan Aruch, nothing to do with this particular topic, that seems to throw somewhat of a question into our understanding of Isur HaBala and a terabola. So we have to take a step back for a moment. It's a topic that we started to talk a little bit about when we spoke about the other sugyas of kashering. We have to get back to ask the basic fundamental question. There's a basic fundamental question about every time you kasher kelim. Who remembers what it was? Something fundamental problem every time you do hagolah. It goes out, and it goes right back in again. This is the age-old question. We spoke about this, right? How can you ever kasher kelim? I throw the spoon into the pot, all the time comes out, it goes into the water, it comes right back in again. So how do you solve that problem? So some Rishonim said it's not a problem. The Ramban personally held that's not a problem altogether, that the bliyas only go out, they don't come back in again. Sister Tari, we're not sure how that works, but the Ramban says that that's what happens. But most of the Rishonim say, many of the Rishonim say, that it is a problem. Remember we called the Rashba, argued with his Rebbe. Right? The Rashba says, Danti l'pnei Ramban, means I try to convince the Ramban to change his mind. And I argued with him, and argued and argued, and one of the Rishonim writes that it was a bitter argument between the Rashba and the Ramban. They said, Marocha mu Marocha. They were fighting and bringing rayas back and forth, and they couldn't convince one another. But most of the Rishonim held like the Rashba. Taisus held like the Rashba. Shulchan Aruch Yisum like the Rashba, that this is a problem, that there can potentially be a problem when you kasher kelim, and what goes out is going to go back in again. How do you solve the problem? Who remembers? What were the two basic ways to solve the problem? The two basic solutions in the Rishonim. First of all, make it an Eina Ben Yomo. So if you're kashering the spoon, if it's an Eina Ben Yomo, it's more than 24 hours. So even if the tam goes out into the water, but then it's a Nosin Tam of Gam tam, and then when it comes back in again, it's a Nosin Tam of Gam, it's not a problem. You can't just turn around and say, well, it's Nosin Tam of Gam now and it's okay, because it started out as Nosin Tam of Shvach. So the Rabbanon, anything that started out as a Nosin Tam of Shvach remains Aser until it's Kasha. That's the Gezer in the end of Avodah Zarah, clear Eina Ben Yomo, Ata Ben Yomo. But if the Tchilas B'liyaso is Lefgam, if it's starting out Lefgam, namely, the Tom already left the spoon, so the spoon is kosher. Now there's Tom floating around inside the water, and that Tom is Nosen Tom Lefgam, because it's been in the spoon for 24 hours, and now it's about to get reabsorbed into the spoon, so the Chacham never asked that. That's called Nosen Tom Lefgam, B'tchilas B'liyaso, and you can use the spoon L'chatchil. That's what some Rishonim said. So Tosis quotes that Eitzah, then Tosis gives another Eitzah. What's the other Eitzah? Tosis says, use a very big pot to kasher. How's that going to solve the problem? Then you have shishim. If you have shishim in the water, so everything's going to be bottled. What was the problem with that? Who remembers? In Malas Achilles, that was the Ran, gave his famous yisayid, that, well, your kavan is not to be mevatel, therefore it's not a problem. I spoke about this, right? No, did we talk about this? A couple of days ago. Okay. So comes Tosis in Maseches Chulin and quotes both of these eitzes. And Tosis says, guess what? Says Tosis. You're right, these eitzes are great eitzes and they're absolutely necessary. Sometimes. Namely, says Taisus, if you want to kasher a treifa spoon, treifa pot or something, then you got to be careful, either shishim or Eina Ben Yomo. But, Zog Taisus, if all you're doing is kashering kalim for Pesach, then everything's okay. Pesach is gevaldik. I should ask one question at the end of the whole year. Give me all the chumers of Pesach or the kulos of Pesach. So this is one of the kulos of Pesach. Says Taisus, when you're kashering for Pesach, everything is home free. You don't have to worry about any of this stuff. Why? Says Taisus, one klal. Who knows what the klal is? Who can guess? If you didn't learn the sugya, you need Ruach HaKadosh for this, but if you learned the sugya, you should be able to guess. So one klal that will permit us to kasher kelim for Pesach without worrying about anything whatsoever. Not far not. Nosin tam by nosin tam. Huh? What? We talked about that yesterday. That was Dagam She'olah B'Ka'ara. Remember the klal of not far not? Not far not meant that when you have a tam that has already traveled twice, we're not concerned with that time anymore. Remember the case of the fleshic fish, right? So I take a hamburger, a hot hamburger, I put it onto a plate. So the nesinis time goes from the meat into the plate. Then I take off the hamburger, wash off the plate, and then I take a hot piece of fish and put it on that plate. So we pask in halacha that that fish is not really fleshes. That fish remains parv. Why does that fish remain parv? Why is that? Because it's the sinas tam bar nasin tam bar nasin tam. Because the tam of the meat went into the plate, then the tam of the plate comes out back into the fish. Oh, that's too far removed. That's much. That's nothing. It's a not for not. Nothing to worry about. And you re-kredin, you can actually eat that fish together with kusuf, together with milchiks. That's how we pask in the halacha. Not by not mikredin is really mutter. So comes Tyson and says, when you kasher kalim on Erev Pesach, or a week before Pesach, so that's exactly what's happening here also. The tam went into this, let's say I'm kashering silverware. So I have a chametik spoon. So how did it become chametik? I stirred my oatmeal with it yesterday, okay? So I stirred oatmeal with the spoon. So now the tam is going from the oatmeal into the spoon. When I stick that oatmeal spoon, clean oatmeal spoon, I throw it into the big pot of water to kasher it. What's happening? The tam is exiting out of the spoon into the water. And then it's coming right back into the spoon again. Says, tells us, that's better than not for not. What is that? That's not for not for not. That's a grandchild. That's a great grandchild already, not for not. It's had so many travels, it's wiped out, it's exhausted already. It's been traveled three times, it's gone in and out, and out three times. So says Tysus, what's the problem? What could possibly be the problem? So wait a second. If not for not works, the kasha kalim for Pesach, why can't we use the same svar for treifus? When you have a chaza spoon, I used the same spoon yesterday to stir a pot of a chaza soup, so I want to kasher it now, I'll do the same story. I'll throw it inside the pot. There's no shishim in the pot. And it's still a ben yoimo. It should still be mutter. Because it's not bar not bar not. What's the answer if I say? Why is that not bar not bar not? Why is that not bar not? Why is that? Because it's what's called not bar not the isura. Only not bar not the heteras mutter. Not bar not the isura. What was the original case of not bar not in the Gemara? The original case was dagam she'olah b'ka'ara. We're talking about tam of fleshiks. Fleshik tam is not osur. There's nothing treif about fleshik tam. The fleshik tam will only be a problem if and when it meets chalav somewhere along the lines. So not by not the heter is mutter. We don't have any gemara that says not by not the surah is mutter. There's no such gemara. There's no such halacha. Let's say I take a piece of chazer. I take a piece of chazer and put it on a plate. And then I take the chazer off, wash off the plate, and put a hot potato on the plate. So that potato is treif. What's the potato's treif? That's called not by not the surah. There's no heter of not by not the surah. Not by not the heter is mutter. So Zokta Baliatoisis in Chulin, that when you kasha kalim, you can invoke the heter of not for not if you're in the realm of hetera. So the only area of halacha that you're in the realm of hetera, except for kochim, the only area of halacha that you're in the realm of hetera is in what area? In the realm of in the realm of Chometz Pesach. It's Chometz Pesach before Shas Yisuro, says Tosis. Make sure to kash those kelim before the end of the fourth hour. When it's still mutter in Chometz, it's called Shas Teira. So then it's considered to be not benat that Teira. Not benat that Teira. Everything is everything is home free. But by Shas Yisurim, you don't have any heter of not benat. There's no heter of not benat Yisura. So therefore, you have to be chayshish. You have to make sure there's either shishim or tzeinu ben yomu. The famous sheet of Tosis. Famous kula of the Baal Yatosis. So Rabbi say. What did Tosis just say? Tosis just said, what did Tosis just say? That chametz before Pesach is called hetera. Chametz before Pesach is not called isura. Well, that shouldn't surprise us. We know this already from Tosis. Tosis already told us in Pesachim Daf Lamed that chametz is called hetera, right? So this is great. These Tosim l'shitasam. Tosis and our sugya is willing to let you get away with hagolah. Because it's a terabala, it's Taisla Shitasim and Chulin that says that you can get away with not for not, applying not for not to Chomis before Pesach, because it's a terabala. That's great, that's wonderful. Who must disagree with Taisus? Which great Rishon must disagree with Taisus? Who has to disagree with Taisus? The Ramban. Now, the Ramban himself happens to hold that there's no blias back and forth when you kasha, but that's a side point. But the Ramban, or those who are Omer B'shitas the Ramban, all the Rishonim will hold that Chomis is called Isura Bala. By definition, must disagree with Tosis. There's no way they can accept this Tosis. This Tosis is predicated on the assumption that Chometz is not the same as the other Isurim, because Chometz is the Terabola. So, Lech Ora, the Shulchan Aruch, who paskins against Tosfos and Esek, the Shulchan Aruch himself, who says that you must kasha kelim through libun for Pesach, Shulchan Aruch isn't even geiris, doesn't even quote a Yesharim like the Ramah. The Ramah, this is conceded as a Yesharim. The Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch didn't even quote that Mordechai in the Rav Yoh. He doesn't quote the Tosfos as a Yesharim. The Shulchan Aruch holds, it's a dava poshet ad ma'od, that chometz is yisurabol, and therefore there's no way to ever rely on Hagolah. You need libun, gomor. Anytime you kasher, any kli that had a bliyai there, eish, niz, libun, gomor, the last person in the world who should have quoted the Tosfos lahalacha, the inkasher, kelim, and erev Pesach, based on apar not, would have been the Shulchan Aruch. We never in a million years would have expected the Shulchan Aruch to quote this Tosfos lahalacha. And guess what? He does. The Shulchan Aruch of Pesach says, no problem, when you kasher, kelim, before Pesach, as long as it's before the end of 4 hours, you don't have to be machped that it's ben yom, you don't have to be machped that it's shisha for the pot. You're home free, not per not, that day, everything's hunky-dory, everything's gevaldik. So there's a pella godel, it's not my kasha. So all the Achraim jump in the Shulchan Aruch, they don't know the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch quoted this from. The Shulchan Aruch quotes it from a Taisin Chulin, but the Taisin Chulin is only according to the Baalei HaTosfos in Pesachim. If you, the Haile of Yosef Kari, you, the Shulchan Aruch, rejected the Taisvus vis-a-vis Hetera Bola, vis-a-vis Liban and Hagopa, how can you bring the Tosfos back to life vis-a-vis the Hetzav Napanat? It's the same Shaila. It's Mamash Hanuhach. So it's Taka Big Pella. It's Taka Pella, Pella Gavel on the Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah Berurah quotes Achronim and say, we shouldn't rely on the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pesach. We shouldn't rely on the statement of the Mechaber, the Inkasha Kelim, the space and Napanat, and just forgo the Shishim, and forgo the Enab and Yom, and forgo all the Chumras of normal Kashri. It's a big Pella on the Shulchan Aruch. Hopefully, Mishnah, tomorrow, we have to talk a little bit more about this, about the relationship, or lack thereof, between these two halachas, the Shulchan Aruch, in terms of Liban versus Agola, and the Shulchan Aruch, in terms of invoking Napana. And I want to speak a little bit more about Ateravala, and then move on, hopefully, to the other answers in Rishon. This is all part of one half of the Sugya. This is all the Tosfos solution to the Naive story. We have yet to see all the other answers. All the Rishonim who reject Tosfos Ateravala story by Chometz have to explain away the Naive story different, have to address it, the Septa, in a different way. So there's a whole second half of the Sugya. I told you this was the longest Sugya of the Juzban. Hopefully, Mitzvah tomorrow. We'll kind of continue or finish. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Okay. All right. So next week, Mitzvah, after that, we're still regular for next week. Pretty much on for next week, and then we'll to be determined after that. Okay.